Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Hello, America. Welcome back to The Savage Truth. I'm Cicely. Thank you for joining me. As always, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. It truly, truly means a lot to me, and I really mean that when I say that. Thank you so much. Podcast is going to be a little different today. It's going to be a little different going forward. And to be honest with you, to let you know, I've been feeling a little bit down and haven't been able to really figure out why or put my finger on why I've been feeling the way I've been feeling. But I know that it has something to do, for sure. It's just a sum total of what's been going on in our country. I do know that that's the source. It has something to do with the overall decline of common sense, where the leading administration, the Biden administration, lies, consistently lies. Every time I turn on the television, every time I'm watching the news, every time I hear some piece of political report or some political commentary, especially from the left, I'm hearing lies. Every time KJP goes up to that podium to give a report on what's going on for the week and give a political recap, I hear lies to the very people that this administration was voted in to serve, us, the people. Lies, consistent lie after lie after lie. Lies about the economy, Bidenomics, as if we, the people, aren't paying more for groceries. Like, we really don't know that. That moms like myself, I don't know that groceries for two bags used to cost me $40 and now it's $60. I don't recognize that my strawberry Greek yogurt used to be $3.60 and now it's $5.82. That people, that moms don't recognize this, that people who buy groceries on a regular basis haven't recognized that per bag the prices have gone up and they're paying more for eggs and milk and everything else. Milk, meat, all that. Lies. Lies about what it costs to fill the gas tank. I drive an SUV. It's between $80 and $90 to fill my tank. It used to be between $63 and $67. How do I know that? Because I'm a consumer. And because I've been driving that vehicle for the last 5 years. And for the most part, it was a certain price. Now, it all changed when Biden took office. And that price started going up. And now, at one point, at the height, it was at $100. It has gone down a bit, but I'm between $80 and $90. And other consumers know what they're spending as well. Lies. Lies about crime. Defunding the police. And how it has impacted the very people they say they care about in the neighborhoods that they say they care about. Those are the ones that have been most affected. Not putting dangerous criminals in jail where they belong. Setting them free under cashless bail policies so that they can go out and do what? Commit more crimes. Seeing for the last 3 years, images of violent attacks against women, against children. We're seeing violent attacks against seniors. We've seen that on a regular basis. We've seen innocent, unsuspecting citizens all across this country being attacked in the news feeds, consistently since the Biden administration has taken over, since 2020. Lies about the border. For the first 3 years of the Biden administration, we were told, especially by Mayorkas, who's a part of the Biden administration's team, and KJP, and Joe Biden himself, and Jen Psaki at the time when she was in KJP's place, that the border is closed. No one's getting in. The border is closed. There's no crises here. Wouldn't even use the word crisis or acknowledge that there was one. Now, millions of immigrants later, 9, 10, some even say up to 14 or 15 million. We actually don't know. That's a problem. And crumbling job approval. It's a crisis. And Republicans won't work with us to close it. That's what they say. Now it's a crisis. So we acknowledge now, you know, first it was there is no border issue. The border is closed. They wouldn't acknowledge that it's a crisis. Now, because Biden needs to go in and his approval rating is crumbling, oh, it is a crisis, but, you know, Republicans just won't do what it takes to close it. They won't work with us. We don't know how many of our enemies are literally living amongst us right now in this country. China, Iran, etc. People who hate us in this country right now have been allowed to just simply dance across the border. We don't know where they are. They've been given cards. They've been given health care. They've been given housing. Unbelievable. And you think they're not sitting around and planning on ways to attack us, to learn our systems, figure out where we're vulnerable, and find that right time to attack? Of course it's happening. Lies about free speech as they shut down diverse or opposing ideas. Any opinion that does not originate from the left-wing echo chamber, they label as dangerous misinformation that must be omitted or squelched or blocked altogether. CNN, which is absolutely laughable, literally blocks comments when Donald Trump is on the air. When he comes out of a courtroom, when he gives a rally, when he's given commentary, when he gives interviews, they block him and they call themselves defenders of truth and journalistic integrity. Lies. Lies about sex. Lies about gender. That how you were conceived and how you come into this world is negotiable. That's ambiguous. And that you can actually cut the healthy breasts from a young, healthy girl and turn her into a boy. Or cut the testes from a young, healthy male and turn him into a girl. And if you would disagree with that, if you disagree with any of that notion or science or biology, okay, then you're misinformation. You're labeled as a transphobe. You're a hater of humans. You're a hater of people. Lies about race. That math is racist. Somehow anything times zero equals zero somehow is labeled racist. That 2 times 2 is 4 is racist. That the formation and the maintenance of two parent families, male and female, mother and father, is a white concept and therefore racist. Now, think about that, folks. That in itself is such an insult. Because if you are a family, a person of color, a family of color, you're being labeled as racist or you're participating in a racist system. It's absolutely ridiculous. Dieting is racist. Dieting is racist. The concept of working out, caring about your body, caring about what you put in your mouth and the caloric impact it has on as it relates to your weight gain is racist. I mean, I saw Oprah Winfrey host a show about this. This is ridiculous. That showing up on time is racist. Now, this one really gets me. And I'm sure right now, the person that's actually editing my video, who's in the room with me right now, is pretty happy that I showed up on time today. So thank you, Rick, for that. But it absolutely is not a racist concept. But this is what these are the lies. This is the ridiculousness of it. This is the absurdity. This is what we have to listen to. And this is what we're being fed. And yes, it has weighed me down. Showing up on time, a white concept, that blacks can't get an ID and Asians receive favoritism in college acceptance, even though it has been emphatically and statistically proven that Asians, they just simply do what they need to do. They simply apply themselves. And because they apply themselves and because of their cultural norms, they just simply outperform others. This is just a part of their cultural demographic, right? So applying yourself is now racist. It's a white system. Now, instead of actually taking what they do, mimicking Asians, figuring out what they do, what they apply, they do something opposite. What have they done? We've blocked them from applying to colleges, block them from attending. And ultimately what we're doing is blocking the best, right? So if Asians actually apply themselves and they get the highest scores and they do what they need to do in order to land in these prestigious schools, they're at the top of their class. That means they're also going to be the top doctors. They're going to be the top astronauts, right? They're going to be the top CEOs. We want those people in industry, and yet we block them. Why? Why? For lies. For lies. Lies about Joe Biden's mental cognition, his mobility. Now, everyone literally with two eyes, maybe even one, maybe you only have one, okay? Everyone can see that this man has been in cognitive decline. His speeches are not gaffes. They are gaps. Okay? These not gaffes. They are gaps. They are gaps in cognition. He loses time. He forgets people. He forgets dates. He forgets events. He mislabels. He misquotes. And he missteps and falls, tumbles. And he tumbles up and down the stairs. And they say, now, according to MSNBC, they say that Joe Biden is at his best. This is the best Joe he's ever been. Lies. Lies. And they're piling up. Lies about January 6th. Lies about fire alarms. Lies about flying 325,000 plus illegals into the country in blue cities. They won't tell us which cities. They won't disclose. And they won't disclose why they are actually doing that. Lies about criminals and the legal system, that it's biased against blacks, that it's biased against Hispanics and other cultures. Lies, 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 lies. And it has weighed me down. And so it has brought me to a point where I'm digging deep to figure things out. So I'm going to just take this opportunity right now to actually reintroduce myself, because I'm going to revamp. I'm going to completely change the way that I have been going about these podcasts. And just so you know, I'm going to disclose something. So, you know, I have a monitor in front of me. And so I use the monitor for facts because I want to make sure that I'm always being correct. And I want to make sure that I'm not misquoting. And I want to make sure that I'm really naming my source. But as a candidate, I can tell you that I thoroughly enjoyed being able to get up on stage and just going off the cuff and not reading off a speech. So I want to reintroduce myself, tell you who I am, why I'm here, what I'm doing, what we all need to do together. My name is Cicely Davis. I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm a former congressional candidate in the unfortunately infamous 5th District, to which I opposed the most anti-American, black-hating, Jew-hating, Hispanic-hating, BIPOC-hating, everyone-hating, middle-class-hating, working-class-hating figure in Congress. And that was Ilhan Omar. And I did that during the midterm election, the 2021-22 election term. Pigs in a blanket, fry like bacon. That came out of Minneapolis. Okay. That was a famous quote. Pigs in a blanket, fry like bacon. And then, unfortunately, we have to claim out of Minnesota. George Floyd incident and the riots that swept across America, causing irreparable damage to businesses, to residents, to law and order, to systems, to race relations. 2020 will go down in American history infamy in a negative way, unfortunately, because of a guy's unwillingness to get into a police car. A cop's bad decision to weigh in on his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. And let's acknowledge that that in itself, that was just bad. Okay, we can have all our theories, but, you know, to just lay on anyone's neck, whether they're good or bad, is just probably not a good idea. But to lame, idiotic, weak leaders, and I say that being Governor Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Fry, because they couldn't decide between the two of them how to shut down criminals, to shut down mayhem, and ultimately what they did was surrendered the third precinct, the surrounding cities, especially Minneapolis and some St. Paul, and ultimately the country to Antifa and criminals. This is on their heads. I hope that everyone understands that the mayhem that was caused all across the country in 2020, unfortunately, started out of Minneapolis because two men, Governor Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Fry, couldn't decide to stop the mayhem before it got out of hand. And so Antifa was emboldened and criminals were emboldened and it spread like wildfire. You know, we all lived it. We don't have to rehash. I am married to the most wonderful man in the world, the love of my life. I have two children and I have a wonderful dog, a miniature pincher. Minnesota is home from Keith Ellison, Minnesota's attorney general. He served as a congressional leader out of the 5th District from 2007 to 2019. That's six terms, folks. He was the first Muslim elected to Congress. He is far-left Marxist socialist communist, as you can believe, and the first Black representative from Minnesota. Of course, he's from the Democratic Party, but that's not where he actually exists or runs. Again, he is a far-left communist, Marxist, socialist, anti-Jew, anti-American attorney general. Keith Ellison is Muslim Brotherhood. And sworn in, he was sworn in on the Quran by Nancy Pelosi in 2006. And this was allowed. I was given an opportunity by David Horowitz in the Freedom Center and the great David Horowitz to have a platform, this platform, the American Savage Podcast. Because we are all disturbed. We are, of course, all hurt and ticked off, frankly, about what's been going on in our country. So it's been a slow and steady decline, but the Obama administration put a serious acceleration on that decline. And Joe Biden is clearly, and I'm sure you can all see it, trying to outdo Obama with far left policies, with far left efforts and ideals. But as I said, I was given an opportunity by Mr. Horowitz to speak about what my experience has been, what yours has been, what we see, what we know, how to address it, what is true, what are lies, what we cherish and value, and how we can keep what still remains good and unique to our country, to this great United States, and how to get back what we've lost, if that's possible, and how to hold those in office accountable to achieve that. And I was willing to be a tool. And that's all politicians are. That's something I've come away, I've learned. I've taken some learnings from being a candidate. Politicians are just tools. They are tools for the American people to maintain the American way of life by way of the wants of the people and represent the people's interests. And I can recognize that being a Black woman and conservative, that perhaps I have a unique take and perspective that I can offer on the consensus of our decline in this country. I am proud to say that I received more votes. This is my time to boast a little bit, if you will allow me. I am proud to say that I received during my election or my campaign more votes than any other candidate in the state in 2022. That's because I got out there and I did the work. That being said, I learned a lot. I learned some things, as I said. But I came away realizing that political campaigns are all boiled down to visuals and edibles. What people can see, what people can remember, and what they can chew on. And I'll get back to that in a moment. I'm going to circle on back in a bit, but I watched all the David Horowitz videos. I watched all his interviews, his college visits, his speeches, and I got a bit intimidated, to be honest with you, because he's so intelligent. He's so knowledgeable. He's sharp, and he's just so very right. Not right-leaning as he is, but he's right, meaning correct, meaning no lies. It was refreshing about the Democratic Party. And this was the most important thing to me that I realized after watching so much of what David Horowitz had done. He was first. He was that first one to really bring a lens to do the whole college thing, right? Go to colleges and stir up the Dems and you know, have these debates, talk to far left students, really give it to them, listen to them. By all means, keep it open for conversation and dialogue and exchange. But he was first to tell the unbridled, unapologetic truth. He was the first to call out the Marxists, the communists, the socialists, and their agendas because he grew up in it. So he knew firsthand, as he wrote in his books, he knew firsthand what it looked like, what they sound like, what their agenda is, how they operate, their language, and why, the who, the when, and the where. And I formed in my head what his audience was like and conformed to that perception, my formed perception, what I thought. But that doesn't really serve anyone. It doesn't serve anyone to conform yourself to what you think others will want to hear or what they're like. And so I became afraid, to be honest with you. I was afraid of something. I was afraid of coming off as another stereotypical angry Black woman. I was afraid of that. I was afraid to have that approach or have that perception of me. And I needed to do something to make sure that I didn't come off that way. But it's just not me. And so I shouldn't have to worry about that. The last thing America needs, I can admit, is another angry Black woman. But I have to say, I am angry. I'm ticked off at what is going on in my community, in my state, in my city, in the lives of my friends and my family. I'm ticked off about what's going on in my country, the attack on my country's history, the attack on my country's legacy, its statues, the ideals, the American flag, right? I'm angry, and I'm a ticked off Black woman about the attack on just truth, on our amendments. I'm angry that race is always used to divide when everything around us tells us that racism is definitely not the cause of the problem in education. Race is not the issue in finance or human relations or academia or healthcare or the labor force or the criminal sphere. It's class. This is class warfare. And that's where the sweet spot is. Race is used by Marxists because they use class warfare to divide. And they know and understand the triggers. This is what David Horowitz was telling us. I'm angry that Jewish people were defending Ilhan Omar in my district when I was running as a candidate. And I was just as angry that Blacks were defending Democrats and the Democrat Party when I was running as a candidate. Defending Black criminals in my district. All the while, my district and my once beautiful city was torn apart by crazed lunatics and criminals. And I'm angry that I can't be Black and like or support and rally and vote for Donald Trump, who gave to HBCUs when Obama did not. Okay, let me say that again. Obama gave no money to Black colleges. Donald Trump did. Donald Trump said, we absolutely cannot have Black colleges closing. It's important that they exist. They are a part of our history. They make our country great. Obama did not. He had tons of Black friends, tons. And I'm not saying this as a, oh, he had tons of Black friends. What I am saying is that Donald Trump was never a racist. He was praised in hip hop music by these hip hop artists and asked a very important question. What do you have to lose? This is such an important question because he actually cared about Black people, all people, people in the middle class, the working class, people who punch clocks and build and support industry like janitors and construction workers and electricians and teachers and mailmen and vendors and farmers and truck drivers, right? Middle class working people. Donald Trump cared. And so going forward, I'll give you the stats. I'll give you the reports. But we're going to just talk. We're going to have a dialogue. And I'm going to share my perspective. I'm not someone that's uniquely special. I didn't come from wealth, right? I'm just a regular American girl out of upstate New York. You know, on any given day, I love t-shirts and tank tops and jeans. That's my typical, right? I'm not exceptionally smart or anything like that. But I just do have a care and a passion for my family, my friends, and this country. And I want it to remain unique. I know that out of 193 countries, only one has had an existing constitution that hasn't been changed. That's unique. I know that we're only 25% of the population on this globe, and yet we are still the industry leader. We are the global leader for art and innovation, right, and science. We are unique, and I like being an American. I absolutely love being American. And so that's going forward. So we're just going to talk. You're going to see, I'm sure you've seen in the past, I always have a different visual behind me. And the whole concept behind that, just to let you know, is that I just want to give people insights as to the greatness of America. And America has a lot of really great visuals, right? I talked about our statues. I talked about our history. We talk about our people, our landscape, and our leaders. And behind me is a really, really important visual. This is obviously a 2024 election in which the head runner looks like it's going to be Donald Trump against the incumbent Joe Biden. And what you see here is a very important visual, and it's in relation to last Friday. So last Friday, there was a funeral in Long Island for a police officer that was killed in a line of duty, 30-something. His name was Jonathan Diller. And what I talked about, what I learned coming away from my candidacy, is that people can only handle so much information, right? They need it in small bits, and they need it to be relevant, something relatable, right? When I talk about groceries and gas, their savings accounts, people understand interest rates, right? Crime. Why is that important? Because people need to feel safe. You know, they should feel safe. When they let their kids out of the front door, they shouldn't have to sit in the front with them on the porch and watch them play, or sit in the picture in the window and watch them and worry about them leaving the gate. They should be able to go for a run in the morning, or walk their dog, or go for a stroll to the park and feel safe and be expected to return safely, right? Interest rates. Why is that important? Because people buy things, right? They buy homes. The interest rate that they pay is relative to, you know, that monthly payment, right? So it's important. What am I going to pay? What are my monthly car payments going to be? Depends on that interest rate. Those are important things. That's important. The border. Why is a border important? Well, for one thing, we need to know everyone that's coming in, right? Again, I use the analogy. You can have a welcome mat on your front porch, but does that mean that I can just walk up to the and walk in? Or do you need to open the door and invite me in? Not only that, but we don't know who's in the country and what their intentions are. And if they're ill-intended, as we know, we have a lot of global enemies because of this failing administration, we don't feel safe. Laws about property. And this is what Marxists do, communists do. They don't want you to have property, right? They attack capitalism. And that's important, as we see taking your property. And we see that with this whole squatter law. Squatters have a right to your home that you bought. They didn't buy, but they have a right to your home, right? These things are important. People can only handle so much information. So I talk about contrasts. And this is a contrast behind my right shoulder here. It's a contrast. Last Friday, as we talk about this funeral, as I close, there was a wake in Long Island. Donald Trump attends the wake. Family is there. Police officers are there lining the streets. Donald Trump speaks. He embraces the family. He makes comments and he says that this has to stop. This can't go on. We need law and order. He also literally pays the mortgage off for the family through the Tunnels to Tower. And then he steps away. He didn't bring up any politics. He didn't slam Joe Biden. He didn't talk about the Democratic Party. Why? Because he's genuine and he cares. He literally cares about the fact that we lost yet another police officer, another working class individual in this country because of the other man's, in this picture behind me, his policies. Now, in contrast, 30 miles away, Joe Biden is at a fundraiser with Clinton, Obama, and himself. So listen, you have four presidents in the state of New York. One shows up to the funeral of a police officer who died in the line of duty. And the other three are in Radio City, dancing on stage, right? And we hear rumors that, and I don't know this to be true, so we have to look it up, but at that time on Friday when this happened, Joe Biden hadn't actually called the family. Donald Trump did. He could have at least stepped down. He could have touched down, gone over to say, pay his respects to the officer, and then gone 30 miles away to the fundraiser. This isn't about me hating fundraisers. I understand that they're necessary. I've been told, hey, money is the mother's milk of campaigns. I get that. But there is a contrast, ladies and gentlemen, of the two gentlemen behind me. And so we're going to have to make a choice as I close. Small bits of information, what's relevant? And that's what it's going to boil down to. Contrast. Contrast of presidents who show up for working class people to pay respects, pay off their mortgages, wants to close our borders, has policies to put criminals in jail, wants you to keep your property, He wants you to have the best education. He's vibrant. He's lively. He actually cares, and his language says so. Or you have the one with his head down, who needs to be handheld to walk down the stairs, who tumbles up and down the stairs, is in cognitive decline, who won't call a police officer or their family members as they're killed under his failing policies. So going forward, we're going to talk about those things. I'm going to just be myself. I thank you so very much for your support. But this is an important year, and I owe it to you. I owe it to myself. I owe it to America. I owe it to David Horowitz and the Freedom Center and all those who support me and our country to be my absolute genuine self. So I thank you for the opportunity, for joining me. As I always say, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.